Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. I'm Niall from Corner of Film, which is a film website where I write about film. I'm joined today by my co-host and best friend, Jack. Hiya, Jack.
Hello there, Niall. How are we doing?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Looking forward to doing this again.
Yeah, me too. I feel like it's been ages since the last one.
It has. I have thoroughly enjoyed the interviews you've been doing with other people as well. They've been really good.
Yeah, thank you. They're quite fun. I mean, it's nice just to be able to have a chat with people.
Yeah, that's it.
Jack, before we get started today, I need to share something with you that I saw about a week ago.
Oh, God, go on.
You may remember I messaged you super excited, but...
Yeah, you did, and you wouldn't let on what the hell you were on about.
I just had to remind myself that there was something. So okay. I've been sitting on this for a week, and it's just the weirdest, stupidest thing. But I was just in my local town doing a little bit of, you know, shopping.
Perusing.
Yeah, and so I'm a bit of a people watcher, so I like to, like, scan people and just see what's going on. That's just one of my hobbies. And walking along the street, and outside a coffee shop, there's a whole load of people. It was a really nice day, so everyone's sitting outside. And I clocked this woman sitting at a table, and she was just chatting with, like, I don't know, like an elderly couple. And I remember thinking, I wonder if they're her parents or what. And I was just sort of looking, because they didn't look like they were related. They're just, Anyway, as I got closer, this woman was rubbing her arm, and I could see what looked like quite a fresh tattoo.
Oh, no.
And as I got a bit closer, I saw that the tattoo, in just like fancy script, said the words, Happy Gilmore.
No, no, it did not.
So my initial thought was, there is no way that said Happy Gilmore. And because I was walking past, I slowed a little bit, like, wait, what? But I did the double take, but I didn't, like, stop and stare, because I thought it would be weird. It's just some woman, like, sitting, having a drink like that. That would be really odd. So I kept walking. But I was with Sam, my partner, and I turned to her and said, did you just see? And she went, yep, Happy Gilmore.
No way.
So
that's awesome.
I mean, I very much doubt that that woman is listening, but on the off chance that you are, props on the Happy Gilmore tattoo.
Yeah, come on, and we'll talk Happy Gilmore. I mean, we're all big fans. How old was she?
I want to say, like, maybe mid-30s.
Okay. So, what did she look like? Did she look like a Happy Gilmore fan, or was she pretty unsuspecting?
Not at all like a Happy Gilmore fan. She looked so little like someone who would watch Adam Sandler's films that I actually thought, I need to know the story that led to that tattoo. But
yeah, that's bold. Did she have any other tattoos, like, visible?
Not that I could see, no.
Wow.
It's not like she was covered and that was just like a little piece that stood out. It was like the only one.
You know what? I have often toyed with the idea of getting an Adam tattoo. I don't know what, but Happy Gilmore is probably up there.
You'd have to get Billy Madison, I think.
Billy Madison, do you reckon?
Just a little script on your arm, Billy Madison, done.
Or I might get a shampoo and a conditioner bottle.
Sure.
We could get one each. There'd be matching tattoos.
You could get the shampoo, I'll get the conditioner.
Shampoo is better. Can we do that, please?
I don't see why not.
Yes, wait, I'm going to hold you to that.
All right. That seems like a great way to start segment one.
Yeah.
Completely doesn't at all segue nicely, but let's just go in. Segment one, Jack, what have you been watching?
I have been watching, Oh, I watched School of Rock was on TV recently, and I saw it, and I was like, I'm not going to sit and watch School of Rock. I've seen it 10,000 times, and then it stayed on, and then I ended up watching it, and I didn't realize, I mean, I know how many times I've watched it, but I found myself quoting that film literally line for line. Like, there's not many films I can do it line for line, but School of Rock is apparently up there.
Yeah, I reckon I could as well. I went through a phase when I was a kid of watching that every week religiously. I must have seen it 80, 90 times.
It's so good.
It is great. It's the music, the child actors as well, like, just
phenomenal. And obviously, rest in peace to Freddie, you know.
Yeah, do you know what? I feel awful because I can't actually remember his name now.
Kevin Clark. That sounds about right. And then I've been watching it. Well, it's taken me ages to watch it just because I'm I'm really bad at sitting down, but not so much a film, although kind of is. It's a mini documentary series, but each episode's like an hour and a half long, so I'm going to count that as a film.
Yeah, might as well.
It's a documentary series called Five Came Back, and I'm super into like military history, especially like World War II. I really enjoy learning about, and being interested in photography as well, this was like super interesting because it documents the five filmmakers, Hollywood filmmakers, who basically dropped Hollywood's their really successful directing careers to go and document the war on the front line, like
nice,
you know, in Normandy and that. And really interesting. It was produced by Spielberg, because of course it was, because he loves all that. But yeah, really, really, really well done. Had featured loads of big Hollywood actors, directors. So like Guillermo del Toro was in it quite a bit, and Francis Ford Coppola was in it. Like, it was just really well done, and I'd recommend it if you're into that kind of thing. It's on Netflix, and there's I think it's three episodes, and the films that they are based on, like the directors' films that they made on their trip, are all separately on Netflix as well. So I might check out a few of those.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, definitely. What about you? What you've been watching? About 50 films, I'd imagine.
No, do you know what? So this is really odd. I've only watched two films in the last 2 weeks.
Slack in, mate.
No, I've just been really like throwing myself into work. I've been keeping myself busy with just sort of various things and family stuff. And yeah, I feel a bit lazy, really, with
what
film.
A cop out.
I've watched two films, and I've also been watching some TV stuff as well. But I've watched, funnily enough, you just mentioned Coppola. I watched a classic Nick Cage movie, Bangkok Dangerous.
I've not seen Bangkok Dangerous, but I do mean to watch it at some point.
I own it on Blu-ray for some unknown reason. It is not great, but
no,
it's so kind of better than I remembered it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's decent action. The story isn't too bad, actually, but the dialogue is something else.
What, and it was a Francis Ford Coppola?
Oh, no, it's just because Nick Cage is his nephew.
Oh, yeah, I completely forget that.
Yes, so it wasn't a bad story, generally speaking, but because it's a remake, so...
Oh, so they obviously had faith in it enough to remake it.
Yeah, it's actually supposedly not a bad film at all, but they took this film that they'd made and remade it with Nicolas Cage and just sort of shoehorned in this weird romance with this deaf mute pharmacist. And yeah, it was bizarre, but the weirdest aspect of it was the writing. So the dialogue specifically, one of the first things that's said in the film is Nicolas Cage does this voiceover where he outlines his rules of being an assassin, which are hilarious. Oh. They're the most stereotypical things you could think of.
Is it supposed to be a comedy?
No. It's very serious.
Even better.
And then it sort of does this weird montage. So he starts explaining his life as an assassin. And then it does this weird like thing where it's showing you the police are mobilizing because he's like just shot someone or something. And he's in a foreign country. The point is, he's this traveling assassin. And there's, for some reason, they've subtitled man number two speaks foreign language, which
what that's
really
in
made, that's in the film. Like they've subtitled that into the film. Like it was important enough that they've put that someone's speaking, and it was important enough that he's man number two, but he doesn't deserve a name, and no one needs to know what he's saying.
Oh, so there was just like, imagine he's, you know, you can make up what he's saying.
Well, I mean, he's just a policeman like shouting orders at someone. So I really have no idea.
Yeah, that is weird.
But then there's a bit shortly after where Nicolas Cage says, I return to my invisible world like a ghost.
Oh, that's poetic.
It's not poetic at all.
It's not.
It's just hilarious.
That was a great Nick Cage impression, by the way.
Thank you. I've watched almost all of his films.
That is saying something.
Yeah, so I watched that. I mean, I've reviewed it. It's up on the site if anyone's interested, but
definitely.
It's an okay film. I wouldn't not recommend it, but I would never go into it expecting too much.
So. No. I think that's a general rule of thumb when it comes to Nick Cage, is just kind of like, have fun with it. Don't expect too much.
Keep your expectations low and you'll only be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
That's pretty fair. To be fair to him, though, he's actually quite good in it. He's a little bit more toned down than he usually is, but I mean, it's action. He can do action. He's always
he's a
done
great
action.
Actor. Like, when given the right stuff, he's really good.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't not enjoy it. It's, you know, it held me better than a lot of action films hold me, which is saying something, because I'm not a big action movie fan, really.
No.
I find them a bit flat, usually. But, weirdly enough, the other film I watched is also an action film.
Hmm.
It was a Netflix thing. Did you see Kate came up? Came out like
no.
2 weeks ago.
What, a Netflix original?
It is. So again, that maybe tells you something about it.
Okay.
It is Mary-Kate Winstead, you know, from, well, loads of things, but
yeah,
she's a bit of a, you know, scream queen. So
okay, cool.
She's branched out into this action thing where she also plays an assassin.
Ooh.
There's a bit of a theme with these two films. And the premise is she's on her last job when she finds herself poisoned and she's got like 24 hours to live. So she sets out to kind of A, finish the job and B, get revenge on the people who poisoned her.
Hmm, interesting. Is there no antidote? It's just you're going to die in 24 hours.
Just you're going to die. There's nothing that can save you. And she just sort of progressively gets worse over the course of the film, which is, I kind of like that actually.
Yeah, different.
You know, it was just there's no hope for you. And you kind of know that from pretty much the start, which is quite nice. Not nice, but it's a little bit refreshing. Usually there's this whole like, oh, there's only one thing that can cure you. And that is redemption or something stupid like that. But
yeah,
it wasn't trying to be anything. It wasn't. It was very sort of over the top action. So I wrote a thing for Screen Rant about how it's essentially Netflix trying to copy John Wick. And if you think John Wick with a female protagonist, it's set in Tokyo, that's pretty much all you need to know, really.
Okay.
But not a bad film. Just, again, you know, don't go in with expectations that are too high and you won't be disappointed.
What more could you ask for?
Well, exactly. So yeah, those are my films. I've also been watching on TV, Nine Perfect Strangers. It's like the new, I don't know if it's Hulu or Prime Original or I don't know, something like that. But it's one of those, got quite a good cast, decent
That's
show.
A mini-series, is it not?
I think so. Yeah, it's got, the premise is these nine people go to this like wellness retreat run by this slightly crazy woman who has these weird unorthodox ideas. And
oh, is that the one with Melissa McCarthy in it? Is she in that?
Melissa McCarthy, Nicole Kidman.
That's right.
Bobby Cannavale's in it. Who else? Michael Shannon.
Okay, good cast.
Yeah, it's a really good cast, but it's quite good. It's quite tense. I feel like it's lost a bit of traction. I'm sort of episode 6, maybe. It's sort of gotten a little bit like...
lost a bit of steam.
It's, yeah, picked back up now. But the first few episodes really, really dragged me in. So
that's good, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're ready to move on, are you ready?
Although, actually, talking to Nick Cage, I picked up, and I've not watched it because I'm saving it for a fellow Nick Cage fan who you know. We won't usher his name yet.
No, we won't speak.
Maybe he should come on and he could talk about Nick Cage.
Yes.
But I didn't even know it'd come out, like, been released, but Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, do you know what? This completely went over my head too.
I saw the trailer when it came out and I was like, that looks incredible. Like, it's basically Five Nights at Freddy's, the video game. Not officially, it's not like a tie-in thing, but it's very much that kind of...
premise,
premise, but Nick Cage plays the arcade Chuck E. Cheese type security guard. And it just looks mental. Like, it just looks so much fun. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, he's really busy lately. Like, he's had Pig come out sort of in the last year, which has done really well. He's had Willy's Wonderland. And then he's also got a new one out this week, or has just come out, called Prisoners of the Ghostland. I think that might have been last week, actually.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be quite good, I think. I'm not really sure what the consensus
awesome.
Is yet. Yeah, he seems to be quite busy. It's nice. I love Cage, so I like to hear that he's keeping himself
doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Okay. Are you ready to let the games begin?
Let the games begin.
Well, that was good. You could do trailers with that.
In a world.
Okay, so, Jack, this week I've brought along a little something for you.
Lovely.
I'm going to try and explain it a bit better than I did in the last episode, where I stumbled over my words for several minutes.
I mean, I'm thoroughly confused anyway. It's not too hard to make that worse.
Okay, so basically, you know how when they release a film, it doesn't just get released in one country, it gets released all over the world.
Yep.
When they release it in other countries, you might not know this. I mean, it's not common knowledge, but they change the titles sometimes. And what they do is they translate the titles into, you know, the native language. Mm. And then when you translate them back directly, the title that you get sometimes very different from the original title. So I've brought along 12, a whole dozen.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Titles that have been translated and then back again.
Nice.
And I'm going to read you the translated version.
How does that work? Like, how does it get literally lost in translation? If it's a direct translation and then it comes back again and it's not the word you started with?
It's just the way different languages work, I guess. I mean, in terms of, so I'm going to share a little piece of information about myself.
Well, go on.
You know, Jack, but I'm bilingual. So it's when you learn another language, there are ways of saying things that are actually completely different. So,
yes,
you know, one phrase in English is a completely different phrase in French, say, that means the same thing.
Right.
It's, you know, we've got all these weird little phrases that we say without thinking that, when you translate them directly, if you then said that in another language, people are like, well, what are you talking about?
It makes no sense.
I mean, I guess that plays a part, but I don't know, maybe it's just like the way that certain cultures title things or name things that you see a lot of these actually are Chinese. A lot of them are Chinese. There's a couple of Japanese titles. I think one that's Thai as well. Like, I think there's such a big difference between how Western language is structured that I think that plays a role as well. But
interesting.
Basically, I've picked out some really funny ones, and I think we'll have fun with it. So
that sounds great.
Are you ready to get started?
I am ready. I also wonder what Cockney rhyme and slang sounds like in Japanese, like what that translates to.
There's some homework for you.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to many people who aren't from London, so that would be interesting to look into. I'm going to do that.
You do that as just like a pet project, and then
I will do.
Maybe give a presentation on it or something.
I'll report back. Anyway, not to derail the segment any too much. Let's go.
Okay, so the first one, the title is "I'm drunk and you're a prostitute."
Well then, I'm drunk.
I'll give you a clue. We've just talked a lot about Nicolas Cage. It's one of his films.
Oh, man. That does kind of help, but also, I mean, he's got a huge amount of work.
It's one that he is quite decorated for.
Okay. Is it a 90s film, like in early 2000s?
No, I think it's a little bit older than that. I want to say it is a 90s, actually.
What's it called? It's got Vegas in the title.
I'm going to give you that. It is Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas.
I believe that's the one he won an Oscar for.
Did he really?
I think so, yeah. And fairly early on in his career. And that's the Japanese title. I'm Drunk and You're a Prostitute.
Oh, because I've only seen it. I don't know if I've actually seen it. I know a fair amount about it. Is it the one where he is like an alcoholic and he goes to Vegas and then to like die?
Yeah, he goes to Vegas to drink himself to death and falls in love with a prostitute, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. Well done. That was good. Thank you. Okay, this one, I have no idea if you've seen this film, but I feel like this one's impossible to get. But
oh, God.
My boyfriend is a psychopath.
It's just that.
Yep, that's it. I will give you a clue. Yeah. It is not a horror film. It's not even a thriller film.
Oh. My boyfriend. I was going to go with American Psycho, but then that's both horror-y and a thriller-y.
Yeah, it's
I don't know. Give it to me.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, see, no, I haven't seen that. That's Bradley Cooper, isn't it? And Jennifer
Lawrence. Yeah, is Jennifer it a David Lawrence. O. Russell? I think
it is. Have you? I mean, I need to start doing side notes. It's he threw a massive fit on set. David O. Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He went off like big time, and apparently it's not the first time he's done it. Like he was like really out of line.
Three Kings is quite a notorious yes. one because Clooney stepped up to him and was like, just
"That's
leave
right."
Everyone.
He yeah yeah.
But yeah, I mean Jennifer Lawrence loves him. She always works with him, so it
yeah,
can't
she
be
does.
That bad. But no, that's no. the Russian title of Silver
oh,
Linings Playbook.
Okay,
and I mean it was years. It's been years since I watched it, but I don't fully understand how that translates. Like I know Bradley Cooper's character has some sort of I can't even remember exactly what it is. I thought it was some sort of grief thing, like he right. was coming to terms with someone's death or something like that. But I'm probably way off. But yeah, I don't quite. Get that I would never have got it from that title, so
no,
you know.
No way.
Okay, this one is a film that you've probably seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Journey of a Strange Couple at the Time of a Tumultuous Birth.
Of a Tumultuous Birth.
It's a comedy film. It's a buddy comedy, and I'll give you a clue because that's such a weird title.
Mm.
The couple that it's referring to are two men, and they're not a romantic couple.
It's not Chuck and Larry.
No. The tumultuous birth thing is key.
Oh, okay, birth thing. Okay, and they're a couple. Two guys.
Yeah, but they're not right. like a couple.
No. So The Hangover, but that's three guys.
And there's no
and
birth.
That, no, I'm just thinking of the bloody baby that he straps to his chest. Oh, my God, I don't know.
You are close with the actor, though. It's Due Date.
I have seen that only the once, but yeah, that's.
It's not a film that you would watch several times. I don't think. I think that's a
no. It's
you watch it once and then maybe late at night when you can't sleep, you'd chuck it.
Yeah,
on,
or on a plane on a long flight.
But that's the Chinese title for right. D-Date. This one, so there's two of these where I've actually got two titles, and I'm going to give you one. I'll give you the second after. You know what film it is because
okay.
the second title is hilarious but sort of gives it away.
Right.
One Night Big Belly.
One Night Big Belly. Big Belly. Hmm. Knocked Up.
It is. It's Knocked Up. You've got it.
Yes.
So that's the Chinese title, One Night Big Belly. But in Israel,
oh, God.
Knocked Up is known as Slightly Pregnant.
I like the other one. One Night Big Belly. That's great.
Okay, I think that's four. That's four of 12.
Okay.
So you're a third
okay.
of the way.
I've got two.
The next one, Superpower Dare Die Team.
Superpower Dare Die Suicide Squad.
No, hold on. I'm going to go again really slowly.
Okay.
Superpower Dare Die Team. Suicide Squad is a great guess, but it's not Suicide
Power
Squad.
Dare.
I'll give you a clue. It's a film that you absolutely love.
Oh, well, it's got to be an Avengers.
Nope.
Is it not?
No.
Incredibles.
No.
Damn. Oh man. Dare. I'm stumped. What is it?
That is the Chinese title for Ghostbusters.
What?
Yeah, and also apparently in France, Ghostbusters is just called SOS Ghosts.
That's quite good. That's better than where was the other one from?
China.
China. What was it again?
Superpower Dare Die Team.
Superpower Dare Die Team. I guess die is relating to the ghost.
The superpower sort of half works. I mean, the only bits that really work are the team and the die.
Team. Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah, that was good.
This one, I think if you know the film, this will be easy, but it's a funny one. If you leave me, I delete you.
If you leave me, I delete you.
I said that really angrily. I was getting
leave
into
me,
it.
Her.
No, not a bad guess. You're not far off, actually, with that. It's in a similar vein.
You leave me, I had an ex machina.
No. Go on, one more try. It is a romantic comedy drama. I can't really give you anything else without just telling you.
I delete you.
It's the exact, that exactly describes the premise of this film.
Okay. He's got to be having a relationship online or with some kind of weird AI.
No.
Oh, no. I don't know. What is it?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's pretty spot on, actually.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've not actually seen it, to be perfectly honest, but
that's another one you'd love. It's really great. Yeah.
I love Jim Carrey.
He's brilliant. He is a classic case of Mr. Sandman, where given the right stuff, he nails it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a really emotional film, actually. Definitely would recommend it.
Yeah, it's one I've just had it in like my watch list for so long that it's probably just kind of been buried from everything else. But that is the Italian title. So
I don't mind that. I quite like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite literal, I guess. So
it's very literal.
This one, again, we've got a couple of quite literal ones, but they're quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
What Happened Yesterday?
That's got to be The Hangover.
It is The Hangover.
Yes.
That's the Spanish title for The Hangover.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Very Bad Trip 2.
The Hangover 2.
It is The Hangover Part 2.
You're gonna try and do me here in a minute with the third one. It's not going to be the third one.
That's the French title for The Hangover Part 2. And no, The Hangover Part 3 does not make an appearance.
Damn.
Okay, here we go. This dead person is very alive.
This dead person is very alive.
It's a classic film.
Meaning like he's dead inside or come back to life?
No, literally dead.
Oh, right. Here's a clue.
Okay,
just a little one.
Quite possibly not a film you've ever seen, but it would be one you've heard of. It's a pop culture like sort of icon. It's very significant culturally,
right?
It's referenced in lots of things. This film.
Oh, not a bloody Citizen Kane jobby, is it?
No. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go on.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen Weekend at Bernie's.
I've not either, but I just know it's about the guy dies and they pretend he's alive so they can use his beach house or something.
Oh, I did not know that.
I believe they use his corpse as like a puppet.
Oh, okay.
It's comedy, I think. That's the Spanish title for Weekend at Bernie's. Okay, we got three more.
Three more.
Die Slowly, Now More Than Ever.
Die Slowly, Now More Than Ever. Oh, God. Some really sad, like, terminal illness film.
No. Wow. Oh, man. Do you know what? I think only you can get away with saying that, but no, it's an action film.
Die Slow. Is it a Bond?
It's not, no.
Die Slow. I don't know. I'm terrible at this. What is it?
It's the German title of Die Hard with a Vengeance. Beautiful language, German.
Yeah, really is.
Die Slowly.
Yeah, but that sounds horrific in like the native tongue. Well, that's terrifying.
But there's another one to learn, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready? The Eighth Passenger is Death.
I know it. It's an old film, isn't it?
It's a classic film. It's not too old.
I'm just kind of scrolling through my head.
It's a sci-fi film.
Is it sci-fi? I'm trying to think. Is it Alien?
It's Alien, yes. That's the Hungarian title of Alien.
Ooh.
Which I thought was quite nice. It's not funny. It's just, and again, it's quite literal, but it's quite misleading as well.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready for the last one?
Go on.
Okay, this is the funniest one. And I'm just going to say now, some people may find this offensive.
Okay.
I didn't write it. I mean, I literally physically wrote it in my notes, but I wasn't the one who translated this. I didn't write the film.
From your brain.
No, I didn't. This isn't me. I'm just repeating it. Okay, so
go on.
Don't sue me. Dimwit surges forth.
Dimwit surges forth. Dimwit. I've not heard that word in years.
No, it's not a particularly pleasant term.
The proper granddad insult, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, you dimwit.
You dimwit.
Yeah, dimwit surges forth. Any ideas? It's a film you have 100% seen. We've talked about it many, many times.
Like Dumb and Dumber, that kind of thing.
You're in the right vein, yeah.
Right-ish vein. Is it a comedy?
It is. Do you know what? I'll give you one clue. You can do it.
Oh, Waterboy. Dimwit surges forward.
The Thai title for Waterboy. Yeah.
Again, it makes sense, I suppose.
It does, but...
Is Dimwit offensive?
I would say so. I mean, if you are... I would be offended if someone called me, seriously called me a Dimwit. You know, it's not a particularly pleasant...
I'll remember that.
I mean, I don't know.
Cut you deep.
You can't say anything anymore, can you? It's political correctness gone mad.
Oh, you beat me to it. That was good, though. I like that. I especially like the alien one.
Do you know what? There's so many. Like, there were loads more that were interesting but not as funny. So I kind of went with funny, but...
Always.
Yeah, always worth checking out a few more, seeing if you can find some hilarious ones.
Sure there is. Well, thank you very much. Thoroughly enjoyable. I might quiz you on that another time.
Yes, you should. You should. Well, thank you for playing along. That was a lot of fun this week.
That was good.
So, Jack, moving on, we've got segment 3. Can you remember what segment 3 is called?
What's going on? Right, what is going on?
What's going on in the world today? Not the world, in the wider world, just the world of film. We've actually had quite a lot of news in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Touched on a little bit of it last week in the episode I did with Oliver from Oliver's Reviews. But I figured that part we'd go over again anyway, because I want to hear your thoughts as well. So we've had some new trailers. We've had some new films released. We've had some new films announced. We've had some big film news. There's been quite a lot. There's even been a death, which is pretty sad. Again, like, people just stop dying.
Please
bring the podcast down, you know. So
just stop dying. okay
so Jack, as of the time of recording, there's been a new Halloween trailer today.
Yes, there has.
I watched most of it, but I'm not really up on Halloween, to be honest. So do you want to talk me through it, maybe?
I can do. I think I was explaining that, I mean, someone, please do correct me if I got this wrong, but Halloween is like Friday the 13th is like a humongous franchise, isn't it? Really, there's so many different entries into it. But I think Universal have completely like retconned everything apart from the original. I don't think Halloween 2 is official, like, canon anymore, so you can forget that. So it's the original Halloween, and then you've got Halloween, I believe it was just called Halloween 2018, which came out in 2018. And then this new one, which is a direct sequel to 2018. But there's not too much to talk about, really, because unless you've seen the previous entry, because it follows almost directly after that. I'm not sure what the time scale is, but... Yeah, I wouldn't want to spoil it, but I definitely would recommend 2018 if you like the original, because it is just as good. Super gory. Well, actually, not gory, but like the violence when it is there is like, is actually quite hard to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I'm not a massive, like, I'm not completely up on Halloween. I've seen the original several times. I believe I've watched the Rob Zombie remake as well.
Yeah.
I may have seen one or two of the sequels at some point, but I don't really remember them very well. And
there's so many.
Like you say, it is one of those franchises that it just had entry after entry after entry, and it was getting a bit confused. I remember writing a piece about it for What Culture, where I had to sort of read through what had happened and like how it had, you know, all played out in terms of the wider narrative. And I believe you're right that this one does follow directly on from 2018.
But
I think that's sort of done as a way, because I believe in the original sort of series, they quite often followed directly on from one another. I might be wrong about that, but I think there's at least one that usually, like, it would end with Mike Myers being caught or supposedly killed, and then the next film would start with him coming back to life in the ambulance. And
well, yeah, because so Halloween H2O, the second one, that was obviously off the first one, that was set 20 years later. So that came out, what, 98? Because obviously 2018. So, yeah, I, I'm, I'm surprised they removed that from the series, but I mean, it works. They're really enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's iconic horror, and
that's great. Yes,
exciting to see these franchises coming back. Obviously, Candyman has just made a
resounding Candyman comeback. Yeah.
Again, I've not seen it.
No, I haven't yet.
Reviewing really well, so
yeah, awesome.
You know, it's nice to see these big horror kind of films making their returns.
See, I'm really looking forward to October, Halloween being my favourite holiday. So last year, I set the challenge of watching a Halloween horror film every day in October.
Yeah, I remember it well.
Mate, so hard. I almost did it. And then as soon as you lose one day, I was like, right, I'm going to make up for it and watch two in one day. And then it just went downhill. But
it gets away from you, yeah.
Yeah, spooky season is coming and we're going to have to do loads of Halloween episodes.
We are. Do you know what? That's just given me some really good ideas of a few.
I'll let you have that for free.
Thank you. We should have a good two in October, shouldn't we? We do one every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Awesome.
Speaking of Halloween, and that's a really awful segue. Why do I do this with the death parts, man?
Who's dead now? I knew it was going to be dead.
What's wrong with me? To be fair, this is a man who probably wouldn't mind a bad segue. He'd probably find it funny. Norm MacDonald died.
Yes.
I'm sure you did see.
Very sad.
Yeah, really sad. And again, he's one of those actors that most people don't really know or wouldn't necessarily know his face or his name.
No.
Or I can guarantee most people would know his voice. He's done some quite high profile voice work, particularly Death in Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is one that I remember him as. I also, weirdly, one of the main roles I remember him as is he did 2 episodes of My Name is Earl.
Did he?
As a character called Little Chubby.
Little Chubby, what a great name.
And he was hilarious in that. But mostly he's known, obviously, for his time on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
He also spent a few years on a show called The Mike Tyson Mysteries, which I did not know existed.
No.
Mike Tyson solving mysteries in a cartoon.
In a cartoon? Oh, I'm definitely going to have to watch that.
I believe Norm MacDonald voiced a pigeon in it. I don't know how we've not heard of or seen this, but it's right up our street.
That's great. And also, looking at his IMDb, I see he was in Fairly Odd Parents from like 2001 to 2017. Who does he play in that?
Oh, I believe he's some sort of fairy or genie or something like that. I can't.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. But just a really funny man. And it's just
Very sad.
Yeah, really sad. We won't dwell too much on it. But
no. And also, we had another loss that came in today. Al Johnson, another mainly comedic actor who was in Friday.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I think like 6 hours ago that I saw that on Twitter, like earlier on.
Oh, that's really sad.
Really sad. He's only 55, I think.
God, it's awful, isn't it? When
yeah,
I mean, Norm MacDonald wasn't old, was he? He was
probably same age-ish, a bit older.
Yeah, I don't want to say early 60s, maybe, but. Yeah, awful.
Yeah, terrible. Well, let's line it up.
Well, I didn't do this on purpose, I swear. The next item on our list, Jack, is The Matrix Resurrections.
Oh, boy.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, boy.
So, did you see the trailer? The full trailer?
I watched the trailer. It looked bloody great.
So, to be perfectly honest, I obviously grew up with The Matrix. I mean, I'm a child of the 90s. You couldn't not.
Of course.
I have never really thought of it as a franchise that I was particularly enamored with. Like, I've always enjoyed the trilogy. I never felt that it really warranted any more films. I mean, there was a definitive end to it.
Yeah, it's a pretty well-loved.
We can talk spoiler-free, can't we, really? We don't need to worry about spoilers.
I mean, it's been out long enough.
Yeah. So it ended quite definitively with deaths. Main character deaths, and you just kind of don't really think that that's going to be rebooted or you're gonna get a sequel, you know. So I wasn't really expecting this when I first heard about it, and kind of the more I've had to look into it, like I've written a few things about it for Screen Rant, the more I've looked into it, the more excited I've gotten about it.
Oh right, I thought you were gonna go the other way.
No, I've actually found myself super excited to watch this film. Like, I honestly cannot wait. And it's really surprised me. I also think it's got a just a great cast. Have you seen the cast?
Yes. Yeah.
So just to run through quickly, I've not actually made a note of this, so this is off the top of my head, but
yeah,
you've got obviously Keanu Reeves is back as Neo. Mm-hmm. You've got Carrie Ann Moss again as Trinity. Morpheus has been recast as it's now Yahya Abdul-Mateen from...
What a great name.
Yes, great name, but also a great actor. He is the guy in the new Candyman film. He's...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Watchmen. I think he's Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen series, the new one.
Did I see Neil Patrick Harris in there?
Neil Patrick Harris, there's... It seems that Neil Patrick Harris may be the film's villain.
Oh, okay.
There's also Jonathan Groff appears, who, can I just say, completely unrelated, but I know Jonathan Groff by name as the voice of Kristoff in Frozen, and I know he's also in Hamilton, and I did not realise that he was also the star of Mindhunter, which I have watched and loved, and I saw him in the trailer, I was like, I know that guy's face, and then I looked, and I was like, oh, he's Jonathan. That's what Jonathan Groff looks like. Oh, I've seen him in other stuff too.
Oh, you've only heard the voice before that?
I've seen him in stuff and I've heard his voice and stuff. I never put together that they were the same person.
There you go.
So I'm excited to see him in this film because it seems like not like anything I've ever seen him in before.
Yeah, different.
Who else? Jada Pinkett Smith is back.
Nice.
There is someone else who's supposedly coming back. Oh, what's his name? The guy who played the Merovingian. I can't remember his name.
Oh, I cannot remember. I genuinely haven't watched The Matrix in a very, very, very long time. I think I've watched the trilogy. I watched it later, actually. I didn't watch it as a kid. I watched it, slightly later on, and I've only watched it through once, so I definitely will be giving that a rewatch.
Yeah, I'm going to as well. My partner let slip that she's never seen it. And we're gonna find a good time, and I'm gonna make her do all three back to back.
Yeah, she'll love it.
I think she will. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, excited for that.
That's cool.
We've also had another very exciting trailer, which you actually sent to me. Nightmare Alley.
Yes.
This looks incredible. Not that we know a lot about it at this point.
No, but it just looks.
Yeah, teaser trailer. Do you want to talk through this one, Jack? I'm happy to.
I can. To be honest, I couldn't make much from it. Like, apart from it's your boy Guillermo del Toro, so already off to a good start.
Always.
And I think I read the synopsis, something about a corrupt con man teams up with a female, is it psychiatrist?
Yeah.
To trick them to make loads of money, essentially. It just looks really, really cool.
I've got a similar but slightly different, I believe from Wikipedia, actually, this synopsis. Something about, so Bradley Cooper's character, he's the main character, I believe. He is a carny sort of, not necessarily con man, but like a smooth-talking, like, carny guy. And yeah. He meets a psychiatrist who is played by Cate Blanchett, who is supposedly even more kind of dangerous and manipulative than he is. From the trailer, it sounds like Willem Dafoe is like the carnival kind of Barker or something. It's also got Toni Collette in it. It's got Ron Perlman in it, among others. But it's got an incredible cast. And again, like you said, it's Guillermo del Toro. You've only got to watch even just a few of his films to know that he's just outstanding. Yeah. I mean,
his style and his...
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, think Hellboy, the good one, not the bad remake. think Pan's Labyrinth, like, just
perfect films.
He's such an imaginative filmmaker. But when you think, I mean, this film doesn't look sort of fantastical in any way, which I know is something he does a fair bit of. But I mean,
it has got a little magic to it.
It reminds me a little bit in tone, the trailer, at least the teaser, reminded me a little bit of sort of the suspense he built in Pan's Labyrinth, that kind of slightly creepy world behind the world kind of vibe.
He's
really good at making these sort of building these worlds that have layers to them, and just really excited for that.
Really
so
great.
You know,
did you know that was a remake?
What, Pan's Labyrinth or
Nightmare Alley?
No, I did not know that at all.
I think it was, I don't know the exact year, but it was a 40s film. I think it's pretty close in story to that. So that's quite interesting. I'd quite like to watch the original as well.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. I did not know that at all. That is interesting. We've also had, Jack, I mean, again, I don't know if this is necessarily the sort of film that you're all for, but it's an A24, so figure by the
shout. Humans.
Humans, yes, got its full trailer.
Yeah.
Did you watch the trailer?
I did. I watched it today, and I'm well up for that. I will watch, and I enjoy pretty much everything. Especially A24. Obviously, you know, they do great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so to be perfectly honest, I haven't seen the trailer. It looks good. I'm not going to debate that. But if it wasn't A24, I don't know that I'd be particularly interested.
Yeah,
it seems like quite an interesting sort of drama.
Yeah, it just looks like a really well done family conflict. Like, it's going to be emotional, obviously, I think. Yeah. And
so it's based on a play by Stephen Karam, I think you say, Karam, mm-hmm. pronounced. And he's also written and is directing the film. So it's going to be, you've got to imagine,
pretty faithful.
Yeah, adaptation of his play, which is really successful. I mean, it's got a great cast. It's got Richard Jenkins, Amy Schumer, and Steven Yeun. Did you catch the Walking Dead joke in the trailer?
Yeah, I did, actually. I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was quite funny.
You know, looking at that trailer, you can see how it works as a play. Like, it just looks great.
It looks quite, sort of closely shot and
minimal sets.
Yeah. But I think done right and with the right cast, which it does have a good cast, that makes it all the better, I think. If you've got a great cast and it's well written, and obviously being a play, the dialogue's got to be pretty spot on. And
yeah,
you know, as long as it's acted well,
which
I'm
it should
sure
be.
It'll be a smash. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
That'll be a good one.
So I guess moving on away from the trailers, we've got a couple of pieces of proper news, really, you know, news. So we'll start sort of earliest first. Disney announced, again, you sent me this, Disney announced that they're giving all of their remaining releases for this year exclusive theatrical releases in a sort of 45-day window. I mean, it's not massive news, really. I think it was sort of made out to be a bigger deal than it really is. They've got 6 releases scheduled for the rest of the year. And again, this isn't particularly different to what they've done for their last couple of films that they've released. So it's interesting, though. So what were your thoughts on it? I mean, I've sort of got my theories on why, but
yeah, it's got to be due to backlash, isn't it? I mean, I think they're trying to win people over a little bit. I think it's a nice gesture. Like, there's no doubt. I mean, it's in Disney's best interest, isn't it? Really, let's be honest. But
yeah,
to keep the directors and different teams who pour their heart and soul into these things, I think it's nice to see your project go to the big screen, because that's the goal, right? Like, you grow up, if you want to make films, you want to see it on the big screen, not just on the TV.
Yeah, no, I do. I think things have gotten back to normal enough now that it shouldn't really be a huge issue whether or not films are going to cinema or straight to home. And I think, as always, people who are happy to wait, you know, if you don't want to go to the cinema to see a film for whatever reason, whether it's because of safety or because of money, or I think a lot of people are used to waiting for their films.
Yeah.
If they're not bothered about seeing it in the cinema. They're used to waiting for it to come to home streaming or physical copy. But I do feel that this was a really, definitely a reaction, but sort of quite
pandering.
Transparent. Yeah. Like a real sort of, I'm trying to think of a polite way to say it. But, you know, it's a very much a look at what we're doing now, Scarlett Johansson.
You
sued us over this, and we're fixing it now, just so everyone knows.
We're not bad.
It just felt a little bit like, all right, but...
Yeah, a bit forced.
And I think it sort of does kind of admit a little bit of fault on their part, maybe, that...
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't handle some of this year's releases particularly well. Maybe they did hurt certain films in the way they were released. I'm not really saying that they could have done it any better or any worse, but you know.
Yeah, I guess it's a kind of, maybe that's their way of saying sorry without saying sorry. It's like a little gesture.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how this sort of, it might affect the lawsuit, it might not. It's so that's kind of old news now, I guess, really. But I do have a list of the six remaining films they've got to release, if you want to hear them.
Yeah, what are they? I don't actually know.
So weirdly, they're not really like Disney ones that you would think about Disney. So you've got The Last Duel, which I was actually quite excited for, historical sort of medieval sort of action drama. Driver, Matt Damon, it's that one with the revenge, like they have a duel. Yeah. Then Ron's Gone Wrong. It's an animated film. The first I heard about it was when we went to see Paw Patrol the movie, and the trailer came on.
Any good?
Looks all right. It's I believe it's a thing. It looks a bit like a really transparent allegory for like kids and technology, and all the kids have these like little robots that are like social media bot type things, and this boy really wants one, and his parents get him one, and it's a really like dodgy budget one that breaks, and he's, I don't know, it's something like that.
Right.
It looks okay. It's, you know, it just looks like you're sort of
standard.
Yeah, animated family film. Eternals, obviously.
Yep.
Encanto.
Never heard of it.
No, I honestly have no idea. I believe that one is actually going to be a 30-day theatrical window.
But I don't have much faith in that one then.
I don't. I've never heard of it. I don't know what it is, to be honest. West Side Story and The Kingsman prequel. Yeah, prequel, yeah. I believe.
Hopefully that's good, because the second one sucked.
I've not seen it, actually. I've seen the first and loved it.
It's so terrible.
I don't know. I mean, it's World War One, isn't it? I think it's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it looks awesome.
We'll see. I'm just looking at that list. That was the list I pulled from whichever news piece I was reading. Is No Way Home not? That's December, is it not? Am I...
I don't know, but then you've got... It's confusing, isn't it? Because you've got Sony in the mix as well.
Oh, that's true, and that might not be... That's probably why, you're right.
Yeah, God knows.
Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah.
I guess kind of the biggest recent news, really, is Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
So basically, he's severed ties with Warner Bros. He's been with them for a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
They've had quite a lucrative relationship. It's not necessarily common knowledge. I mean, it is, but it's out there. They had a bit of a falling out over Tenet.
Yeah.
At the release, and yeah, he was not happy. And he's basically just cut ties, and there was a very, very brief, not bidding war, but you know, there was a brief sort of, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
Within about a day, he'd landed at Universal.
That's pretty good though.
It is. And I've got the details here of the deal he's made with them.
Oh, go on. I don't know much about, well, I heard about it, but I didn't know the ins.
Yeah. So he had a list of, I don't want to say demands, but conditions.
Requirements.
And they have agreed to them. So
did he propose this list to not Disney, to Warner Brothers, and then they said no, we're not doing that?
I would imagine, so I don't know this, but I'm sort of guessing that when you sort of read what this list is, it's not unreasonable in terms of how the world was 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
So what I'm guessing is he's had a falling out with them over how Tenet was handled, and not really their fault given when it came out, but there's obviously some bad blood, and he's basically asked for $100 million budget. He wants another $100 million for marketing. He wants complete creative control, 20% of first dollar gross, and a blackout period where the studio can't release another movie within 3 weeks of his.
Bloody hell.
Well, it sounds a lot when you say it like that, but when you think about it, he makes big movies, like blockbuster movies, and you think of like Inception, you think of Interstellar, think of like these older movies like The Prestige and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So well respected.
I don't think the first couple are unreasonable. The blackout thing seems a bit mad to me, because surely
he's not stipulated that he gets to say when the film is released, just that the studio have to release it at a time where they're not going to release any competing films.
So that could be an interesting time of the year where films don't normally do so well.
It could, or equally, it could be I want you to put as much into marketing and making sure this film does well as humanly possible.
Yeah.
I think it is easy to look at that and go, wow, that's a big old list of demands. But he's a very much like he is one of the most high profile directors.
Oh yeah, he'll make them that money back, no problem.
And yeah, I mean, 100 million marketing, 100 million budget. So his next project is the story of Robert Oppenheimer and the invention of the atomic bomb, which
so cool
is, yeah, that sounds really interesting. Obviously that's going to be a World War II thing.
Mm.
Again, see, this is the thing. It's hard to think of Christopher Nolan and imagine it's going to be a bad film. I think even if it's not necessarily something that you personally would enjoy, I think you know it's going to be objectively a good film.
Yeah, to a certain standard. Like, yeah,
he's a very...
doesn't really miss.
No, not really. He knows he's got very specific vision and it's usually quite original, really. I mean, other than The Dark Knight Rises that we talked about last week, where he ripped off the plot of The World Without Up. But, you know, generally his films are...
Yeah.
You think of Inception, like that came out of nowhere and that was just blew minds.
Yeah.
And Interstellar as well, it's got that whole scientific accuracy to it and it's just all brilliant. And yeah, so to me it seems like a win-win deal, really.
I think he should have a clause in there as well where he gets like a certain like suit deal where like he can design his own suit and sell it at the cinemas, because that man has got great taste. He always looks impeccable on set. He's got like a suit and a little scarf on.
Stylish guy, yeah.
He is a smooth boy.
Have you heard, completely unrelated, but have you heard that apparently he doesn't let his actors sit down on set?
No, I haven't heard that. Why?
I believe it was Anne Hathaway said on about the production of The Dark Knight Rises, actually, that he won't let his actors sit down on set. Like, he says if you've got time to sit, you aren't working hard enough.
I don't know how much I agree with that, but I mean, that sounds interesting enough.
I don't know.
I'm now going to scour the internet for like behind the scenes and see who's sitting down.
Yeah, oh, I imagine they paid for it dearly.
I bet they did.
Yeah, so a couple other little bits of news, and I thought that might lead nicely into a brief discussion that we've sort of already had, actually.
Yeah.
So have you heard about the Flight of the Navigator remake?
No, and I haven't seen the original.
So the original is a film that I loved as a kid, still enjoy now. It's a great film, a sci-fi film about a boy who finds a spaceship, and it's just excellent. It's very nostalgic for me.
Is that Disney?
Ooh, possibly. Maybe.
Like it might be.
But that's being remade by, well, the remake is being directed. It's been officially announced that Bryce Dallas Howard is going to direct the remake.
That's cool. She's so talented.
She is. But do you know what? I looked at, because I thought, I mean, I know her mostly as an actor. Like, you can think of what roles you've seen her in, and she was great in that Black Mirror episode. She was in The Village. She's done quite a lot of film. But I thought, as a director, like, what have I seen that she's directed?
When
I
Mandalorian.
Looked, that's the only notable, like, the only notable
is it
directing credit she has. She's directed a couple of, like, documentaries that have done all right. She's directing the upcoming, what's it called? The Book of Boba Fett, I think. Is that the name?
Yeah, Boba Fett, yeah.
But that's it. So they've obviously got a lot of faith in her, because but then again, like, again, I'm not one for like nepotism and stuff.
Well, look at her dad.
Exactly. Yeah, there's got to be some directorial ability passed down.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, she's an excellent actor, so
yeah, she really is. And also I've just googled Flight of the Navigator to familiarize myself and see what you're talking about, and an article's come up with a really unfortunate mugshot of, and the title from NME is Flight of the Navigator Child Actor Charged After Robbing a Bank in a Wig. And he's...
I did not know this. That's hilarious.
I want to see the wig.
I'm definitely looking that up later.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, I'm excited about that remake, but also they've announced in the last few days, the Lost Boys is also getting a remake.
Yeah. Is it a remake or is it a sequel?
It's not clear yet. I think it's sort of officially just been announced that there is a new Lost Boys film. So it's not clear whether it's going to be a sequel to The Lost Boys, whether it's also going to take into account that that film did have sequels that I don't think anyone watched. There's also a comic series, like it might use some of that. It might be a complete reboot. The only thing that's definite, I believe, is that it's going to have a modern setting. So anyone's guess, really. But they have cast, and today, at the time of recording, I've written a piece for Screen Rant about how this is the exact sort of reboot that Hollywood needs. Because we talked a little bit about this last week, and what has happened lately is everything gets a reboot, everything gets a remake, everything gets a sequel, and Hollywood is just trying to cash in on nostalgia. And
yeah,
I think we both made pretty clear that we're not big fans of that. Like, it feels hollow. But this does seem like it just seems like a great idea. I can't put a hole in this one because it's a cult classic. It's a film that I love, and there is always going to be an element of nostalgia, but it's not so massively popular that it's going to alienate its own audience like Ghostbusters did. It's, you know, they've also cast Noah Dupe from A Quiet Place and Jaden Martell from the It remake.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got two young actors that a younger audience will recognize attached. So you've got, obviously, you'll have a slightly older audience who love The Lost Boys, who will watch it from nostalgia. But you'll also hopefully bring in a younger audience who know Jaden Martell and Noah Dupe. And it should hopefully sort of bridge those demographics.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the Lost Boys doesn't have a fan base that's so rabid that they will just demolish this film, whatever it does. As much as I didn't think that the Ghostbusters remake was a good film, it got torn to pieces because it took something so sacred to so many people and it dared to change it.
That Ghostbusters, though, is a tricky one, because that was at a time in the world where a lot of issues were being brought up with, you know, gender equality and quite rightfully so. But there was a lot of controversy around the way that was handled and the way it was a mess. Like, the rollout of that film was not good. Like, going off at reporters, and
it wasn't a film I enjoyed in terms of the film itself, the end product. Yeah. But the idea of it, I didn't hate. And I'm not against remakes, I'm not against reboots, but I just think there are always going to be people with something that high profile that will just not like it on principle alone. And I think The Lost Boys is just not quite at the level that that's going to be an issue. So,
yeah, it's got a weird cult following, but not to like that level. But the only thing I'm concerned about, Noel, is Corey Feldman going to come out and start acting again?
Even if it's just for a cameo, like, bring Feldman in. I feel like this is like the fourth time we've talked about Feldman for no reason.
I didn't realize how much I actually liked him. He's just such an interesting guy, and he has got a lot of secrets to Hollywood's shadiness, which is really interesting.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. It would be nice to see him just sort of involved in some small way, even. But
I'd imagine Kiefer Sutherland will get on board. He loves it, doesn't he?
I don't know. It's hard to tell with him. He's apparently quite an unpleasant man.
He looks it.
Everyone who's worked with him says he's just difficult. And do you remember a few years back? I mean, you should remember, because I used to make everyone around me watch this video every Christmas. There's a video of Kiefer Sutherland drunkenly fighting a Christmas tree. like in a hotel lobby, just like
I remember that,
and attacking it. So yeah, hopefully we'll see some of that in the film. But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of the news, I guess, for the last couple of weeks. There's quite a lot there, actually.
There is quite a bit there, yeah.
I've enjoyed unpacking that with you.
That was a good one. Yeah. I'm sure next week will be slow for the news.
Yeah, probably, but we'll milk it.
Unless we get any more deaths, eh?
Yeah, let's get some more deaths.
Who's going to croak it this week?
Oh, please, no one I love too much.
Apart from Harvey Weinstein, he can get straight in the bin.
Yeah, or maybe we should do a Weinstein expose. That would be...
Ooh. No, I'm not qualified to do that.
And that would just not be nice listening.
No.
Okay, so, Jack, let's move on to our final full segment, pet peeves.
Pet peeves, yeah. My pet peeves have been a bit rubbish recently. Like, last week was a bit out of the box. Like, it wasn't specifically in a film kind of thing, because it was reboots, I think.
No, we never said it had to be a specific thing. I think you can...
Okay.
It can be anything that annoys you about film.
Well, then this kind of allows my new pet peeve. So,
okay,
we've got a really weird relationship on this podcast with Marvel. Like, one week we love them, one week we're like, no. But I feel like Marvel are partially to blame for this, as well as potentially Star Wars. I think The Force Awakens started this, But basically, every time there's a film that comes out that's kind of remotely action-y, like sci-fi, no, just action-y in general, the trailer format now is exactly the same. Like the way they roll the trailer out, like you get the same thing with like the music, and then it stops for like dramatic thing, and then it carries on, and then the trailer ends, but it doesn't end because you get a post trailer bit where like it's normally an attempt at humor or something, like
a little bit of like brevity.
Do you know what I mean? I just no. And also the main point of that was the posters. I don't know if you realize, but a lot of posters for almost all of Disney ones now, for like stuff like Marvel styles, whatever. And Dune as well, I noticed. The poster is exactly the same, like the format. They've got them all in like a triangle, like the characters.
Yeah, like
and then
V formation, quite far out. You can't quite see who they are, but
yeah, exactly.
Team and that they're all individual parts of a whole. And
every poster. Why? Like, just it's so boring. Like, if because I was thinking about this, and when I went back and I watched old trailers for films.
Yeah.
And they're so good, some of them. I mean, some of them straight up give you the whole film, like most do, but some of them are so, they just don't let on to anything. Like, and the posters are a real work of art, and
Do you know what? Actually, weirdly, on a poster note, and because it's sort of directly adjacent to Marvel and Star Wars and stuff, do you know what I did like? And it was an awful film, really, but the Justice League poster, you know, where it looks a bit like the Bohemian Rhapsody music video.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I thought that was kind of a cool take on like...
Yeah, it's a bit different.
...fit them all on a poster. Because, like you say, you're right. They are all the same. And the trailers and the posters, and they're just following this formula now. And yeah, that's boring. That's a good one.
Yeah, I was surprised by the Dune one. I was like, oh, really? I saw it straight away and I was like, oh, come on.
I cannot get on board with Dune at all. Like, I just can't...
Really?
I see, it's weird because I love sci-fi, I love fantasy, I love in books specifically. That's kind of one of the main things I read is sci-fi and fantasy books. And I could just never sink my teeth into Dune. It didn't really grab me. Like, I always found it a bit dry. And I know it's massively influential, and I know
that's fair though.
Yeah, but I mean, I will watch it, and it's got a great cast, and I need to see it. But yeah, just no.
No, not for you. That's fair.
No. Well, yours was again. You've brought along quite an insightful one, and mine is like a really like petty. Why do people?
I love petty
films. So it's very similar to one I did a few weeks ago, but drunkenness in film. So, in any film where someone gets drunk, there is usually a point at which they black out.
Yeah.
And off the top of my head, I can think of 5-6 examples without even trying where that happens. Right. How often in real life does that really happen?
Yeah. Like, I've never seen anyone black out.
I have been on, like, to be honest, I have been very, very drunk many times in my life.
Yeah.
I have never been so drunk that I can't remember anything.
No, patchy and, maybe at best.
Yeah,
at worst.
And usually, you know, when you're really trying to remember, you'll get flashes, and then someone will say, oh, you did this, and then you'll go, oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? It's never like I can't remember anything. The whole plot of The Hangover is based around being so drunk you have no idea what happened. And not just one person, three people being so drunk they don't remember a single thing.
Maybe they were spiked.
Maybe, but even so.
As a push.
And then, you know, you also get it. You do get it in other films. Like, it's predominantly, weirdly, a comedy trope.
Yeah, because it's an excuse, isn't it, to give the characters like a...
It is, but it makes alcoholism like a joke. And if I'm just going to say this now, we're not the most socially conscious podcast in the world, but if you are getting drunk to the point that you cannot remember what happened to you the night before, please seek help.
Yeah, that's not good.
That means that your drinking is a problem. It's not a funny, like, it's not a little anecdote you can share with
I'm in a movie.
Yeah, it's not like living the movie. That's dangerous. Like, you are doing severe damage to your brain if that's what's happening. And
yeah, to get blackout drunk like that.
It's just the fact that that makes it into so many films. It's, again, like, it's not only complete misinformation on how being drunk works, but, like, don't you find that when... like that becomes a really common trope that young people grow up believing that to be true. And then they sort of emulate it and they'll be like, oh, I don't remember what I did last night. No, you do remember.
Yeah.
You do remember. You just saw it in a movie.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, actually. And that's almost similar to, I never saw it because it just looked so stupid to me, but that kind of impressionable, like, woo, like partying is so fun. Let's get really messed up. That Project X. Remember that came out for you? Well, about 10 years ago.
But again, like you said, I didn't watch it because it's not really for me.
That was loosely based on a true story, I think, when that guy sent out a Facebook invitation when Facebook was still a thing, and then like the whole city turned up and like ripped the roof off his house.
It's just, I just think...
We're laughing, but it's not funny.
Especially the fact that it's usually in comedies, I just think is really dangerous and just completely missing the point.
Yeah, there's a time and a place. Sometimes it's missed quite a lot.
That actually brings us to the end of this week's podcast. It's been a great one, Jack.
Pleasure as always. Been a good one.
Yeah, it has. So, as always, please do go and follow Corner of Film on the social medias. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Corner of Film. You can also follow me at Lord of the Grey on Twitter if you're interested. Please do subscribe, like, rate, follow, whatever, the podcast on your platform of choice. It will help give us a boost, and I will be eternally grateful.
Yeah, and I want more German fans.
More German fans. I know. I mean, we were talking earlier about how German's a really pleasant language. So,
yeah, teach me.
Yeah.
What does the Corner of Film podcast translate to in German?
I have no idea. Like, not a clue.
Next week, I want you to start the podcast in German. I want you to translate it.
At the risk of sounding, you know, I feel like if I start the podcast in German, it's going to sound like propaganda.
Why?
Don't make me say it.
What happened?
What? Germans? Propaganda? This doesn't ring a
bell. No.
Jack, it is your turn to bring us a quote this week. Have you got a quote to see us out?
I have, and it's from, I don't know if I've talked about it before, but one of my favourite films. Me and my brother share this film, the love of it. The Cat in the Hat, Mike Myers.
Yeah, great film.
Just a truly hilarious film. Like, it's...
my daughter loves this film.
Oh my God, yeah. See, this is it. Me and my brother watched it countless times as children, and we recently watched it a few months ago. And you kind of know as a kid that there's a lot of innuendos and like double jokes, but rewatching it, it's just like the whole film is just innuendos and just really inappropriate, just jokes. But it's so I went for Cat in the Hat, and there's too many to choose from quotes, but I went for one bit that always makes me laugh. So in this instance, he's in the garden and he's talking to a garden hoe.
Oh no!
And the and the cat himself, he picks the hoe up and he goes, "Dirty hoe, I'm sorry, baby, I love you." And then just starts kissing, like air making out with the hoe.
Wow.
Ladies that be included?
The children's film.
The
children's... that's...
You dirty hoe. I'm sorry, baby, I love you.
That... it was. Do you know what? The actual kissing noises were probably the worst part. Okay, well, this has been the Corner of Film podcast. We've been Jack and Niall from Corner of Film, and you have been
Big Belly.
How's that for a sign off line?
Good evening.
Goodbye.
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 It's a fish.
Goodbye.